Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, it's the Friend Zone with Tim and Guy. It's the Friend Zone. We're gonna have a good time. It's the Friend Zone with Tim and Guy, because making friends is the best idea of all time. Friend Zone.
Because, Guy, we're friends.
And bad times.
We are mates. That's why we're on the Friend Zone with the rest of our friends. That's what we do here. We hang out.
We do hang out.
With our friends.
Often, not long after we watch pornography, which is also what friends do. All sorts of friends do it in all sorts of different ways. For us, it's a sort of platonic professional experience. For some people, it's probably quite an erotic sort of personal experience.
What, our podcast?
No. Watching porn with friends.
Oh, I got you. I got you, Chief. I tuned out.
Don't worry about it. I think listening is probably the eighth or ninth most important thing in podcasting.
It's here are the first seven in order.
Hit me.
Number one, audio quality. Paramount. Absolutely paramount.
What?
Exactly. Number two, cleanliness, for it is next to godliness. You got to make sure you have a big shower, wash your balls, scrub behind your ears, clean that asshole out before you jump on a mic.
Fucking hell.
Number three, rhymes like dimes. People love rhyming. And that's why you should incorporate as many couplets onto your podcast as possible.
Some call them couplets. I call them fucklets.
Cutlets? Number four, the fourth most important thing in podcasting, make sure you're two dudes doing the show. I cannot stress how important that seems to be. Rule number five, you got to make sure that you've got an associated dance for your podcast.
Wow, not unlike flossing from Fortnite.
Exactly. A lot of people talk about getting a theme song together, getting some sort of logo, podcast artwork, brand identity going on. But of course, before you do any of that stuff, you've got to make sure that you nail the dance associated with your show.
Love to hear it.
Rule number six. Lucky number six. You got to wear a hat.
Yeah, man. You can't be flying without protection. Hatless, yeah.
That's right.
You'd be exposed to the elements, exposed to the sun.
You're going
to
fuck yourself up. You need protection.
That's right. Believe me, it's for your own protection. That's
Will Smith.
Yeah, that is Will Smith.
The late, great Will Smith.
That's right. That's number six and a half. Always dedicate your podcast to the memory of the great Will Smith, man whose career has experienced the undulating highs and lows that we come to expect with the great Hollywood conveyor belt of fame.
My understanding is he had a pretty, like, rigid childhood. I was going to say tough. I don't know if that's the right word, because usually when you say someone had a tough childhood, that's almost a euphemism for it being horrifically bad. But it sounds like he did have a tough upbringing.
His dad was
a real hard ass.
Oh, really?
Made him and his brother disassemble and then reassemble a brick retaining wall in the backyard, just to kind of instill some work ethic into them.
Yeah.
I don't think that's how you should instill work ethic into a person.
It's not a huge waste of time.
It's like breaking rocks in a jail yard, you know? It's like, at least do something that's going to stay up there.
Well,
build a chicken coop.
No, but the brick wall, now they know how to make a brick wall. Tim, can you make a brick retaining wall?
I'm just saying build one that's going to stay there.
They did.
Do you know what I had to do yesterday?
No.
I had to bury a hedgehog in a shallow grave on this property.
Why did the grave have to be shallow?
Because I hit clay really early and it just got too hard to move any more of the clay.
Good on you for giving the hedgehog a burial? Burial? Burial.
I think it's burial. Oh,
Muriel?
Man.
Yeah.
Burial.
Burial.
See, in the Kiwi accent, we would say it like a berry grows on a tree, and it's like a berry. It's a burial. Burial. But in any other language, I think you pronounce the U correctly.
Beryl.
Burial.
Beryl.
Burial. So this hedgehog, right? It was a big hedgehog, too. It was dead and sitting on the outside curb on our property for, I mean, I saw it one day. And then I sort of went, well, like all my problems, I think if I ignore this, it will go away.
Of course.
And then I went to bed and I got up in the morning on a sweltering Auckland day, which was yesterday. My God, it was hot. And not only was the hedgehog still there, it concerningly had grown bigger.
Oh, it was bloating.
Yes.
That's not nice.
Like a beached whale, it had started to rot and fill with gas. So I thought, well, at a bare minimum, I got to get this out of the way of the dogs. You know, because if the dogs get a whiff of this,
quite.
They're going to get stuck in. So, had to scoop it up, find a little spot in the garden that wasn't immediately clay, because there's a lot of, the ground here is clay a lot of the time, and dug a little hole and gave the hedgehog a little service.
Did you say anything?
I didn't say anything.
But in your head, were you like, oh, I hope you had a nice life, I'll see you later, little.
In my head, I was like, this is... The only hedgehog I've really interacted with in all my years is Sonic, and this is like the opposite. Three-dimensional and dead.
Yeah.
Not two-dimensional and faster than the speed of sound.
Well, you know, good on you. Because I remember we had outside of our place on the footpath, everyone's footpath, but it was the footpath closest
to
our place. It's
the Queen's footpath.
Like the Swans. There was a rat that died of unknown causes.
Mm.
And we left it and everyone else on the cul-de-sac left it.
Yeah.
And I watched over days became weeks became months as science ran its course. And this rat, I don't know if someone eventually scooped it after multiple weeks or months and got rid of it.
Would have been a cat maybe.
But the cat, nah man, because we've got so many cats in our
neighborhood. And the cats knew not to fuck with it.
It was there for ages. Anyway, it decomposed.
Yeah. They do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Isn't it interesting that the cats kind of, they know what to fuck with and what not to fuck with.
Mm.
If it was a fresh rat, they might fuck with it.
Oh, of course. Cats, yeah. Cats are little, you know, the cats are just, they're little domestic predators, aren't they? I could go.
Someone should write a musical about them.
I could go my whole life without having a friend tell me that they got a cat. Like, yeah. I'm never like, oh, huge. You know, you got friends who are all like, they're all deep into the cat game.
Yep.
I'm in a thread, which is not meant to be about cats. And all it is people exchanging photos talking about cats. And I'm like, I've fucking seen a cat before.
Yeah, I'm with you, dude.
And it's not even like,
we're done on
cats. It's not even the responsibility. You know, you're not, it's like a dog is an investment. A cat, it's like, this thing is built to take care of itself.
And guys, speaking as someone who has a cat on site.
I know.
Not some Luddite nobody.
And I love the cat. And Fig and I have a great time together. But I don't think anyone else would be interested in it.
You're not under a false pretense that you and the cat have some sort of relation. The cat
is... Do you know what?
The cat's around.
Fig and I, we're flatmates. And we're flatmates with a mutual respect and understanding for one another's wants and needs.
You're in a share house together.
I feed Fig every morning, 6 a.m., every night, 6 p.m. Fig knows when the fuck he's eaten.
Yep.
Sometimes if I get up early and I'm doing some work, Fig will come sleep right next to me. Yesterday, I was going to the, we've got like a storage under the house, mm-hmm. and I was going to put something in the storage, mm-hmm. and Fig, no shit, was sitting like underneath the window, leaning against the wall like a person.
Just watching you, making sure
it's all
kosher.
Well, I looked at Fig and Fig looked at me and we made eye contact and then Fig changed his body position to something more cat-like. Anyway,
got caught.
Cats aren't interesting. Shouldn't have said it. Sorry for mentioning it, everybody.
What do you mean? Shouldn't have said
well,
what?
Well, I was just talking about how I never need to hear about anyone's cats and then here I am.
I don't like you apologizing for saying things on this podcast.
Well, I'm sorry, man.
Makes it, fuck. I really pushed you into a corner on that one, didn't I? An easy corner. The corner of easy street and easy terrace. Whitney writes, "Dear boy, oh no, hey boys, I fucked it up in the first word. Just dropping by to say that the perforated stamp nightmare boner test was also a plot point in Sex in the City, the original series, or, quote marks, SATC, plane." Charlotte is having a major boner trubs with her. Major boner trubs.
Yeah, yeah.
With her first husband, Agent Cooper from Twin Peaks, and puts a ring of stamps around his David Lynch, I'm so sorry, while he's sleeping, and then surreptitiously checks in the morning. I forget what the outcome is. I think the boner inspector is satisfied that all systems are still functional. Tim, I have to agree that, though, that people move in their sleep. Stamps cannot foretell the future. What is that word?
Tumorciniability.
You say it into the mic. You just pick up the rest of the email, right? Maybe.
Stamps cannot foretell the future. Tumorciniability of a penis. If said penis is connected to a human body, that will inevitably toss and turn in slumber. Get it together, science. It's the 90s. We got to look up that word. That's a really great word.
It's massive. It might be one of those words that doesn't exist, but the first bit does. Like, is it tumultuous? Is that the root, or?
I've punched in a rough version of it on Google, and they're like, did you mean this?
No, dude.
Anyway, this is just to say that all roads lead to each other, I guess, and this world is ridiculous if one can seriously connect putting stamps on a dick with two fellas in NZ with four gals fucking their way through the Big Apple. Love you lots, if for some reason this ends up on the friend zone. Tim, you can say my name. Guy, you already did. Bye. XOX Whitney. Well, guess what, Whitney? You daft motherfucker. I hadn't said your name, and now I have twice.
Real careful. I don't think we've ever done a mid-message changeover. Whitney, I feel like, gets it.
Yeah.
This message was sent in mid-November. Whitney gets what the podcast is all about.
Whitney does get it.
It's not about the thing. It's about the idea.
Yeah, yeah. And the stuff around the thing.
Exactly.
It's not about the penis. It's about the stamps around the penis.
So to speak.
Friend zone. Sirs Guy on de Gomez Mount and Timothy the Blessed, Fellows of the Frost, I bring you greetings.
Fellows of the Frost. That is our order.
2020, eh? By the time you read this, hopefully that sucker is dead and buried. You guessed correct. I, for one, am planning a wake for the year that will also include a bit of jumping up and down on it to make sure the bastard is dead. Sheesh, what a monster. But there were perks. I attended a stand-up class and Tim taught me things.
Oh, sick.
It turns out he's quite the teacher. Second career there, if you ever need it. Mr. Bat, you can just see it, can't you? Tim, strolling, chilled beyond belief into a classroom ready to siphon knowledge into young and impressionable minds. Brilliant. I listen to way too many seasons of the podcast during lockdowns and commutes and runs and mowing the lawn whenever. Inspired by the rarity of podcasts nowadays and your modelling of high production values, I started teaching my media studies students how to follow in your footsteps and become podcast magnates. I can confirm that you are very safe in your number one spot at this point and that they are some years away from being serious competition to you. Also, only one or two figured out where I got the inspiration for the unit from, so I've still got my job, so far, until they start talking to their friends about the most recent season. Then I'm completely fucked and looking for new work. Anyhow, Guy made some inspiring comments about his favourite mushroom sandwich of friends on a tour ago, and I thought I'd share my lunchtime project with you. I'm attempting to find the best sandwich in the world, the sandwich de la creme, if you like, sandwich deluxe. Te Hanawiti Taunga. Each fortnight, my workmates watch me waste an entire lunchtime constructing one of the greats, the pastrami on rye, Mexico's mole, Denmark's national dish, the open sandwich known as the smørrebrød, avocado fucking toast, le croque monsieur, the Reuben, Vietnam's amazing banh mi. Each of these amazing delectables are crafted with the finest ingredients a poor teacher's salary can afford, then savoured with the anticipation built up by a fortnight of planning and waiting. God, I love a good sandwich. And to hear another sandwich aficionado recommending one for me to go check out during the party was an unexpected treat. Many thanks, Guy. Any others you recommend out and about in your travels? The roast chicken sandwich at the Fed comes with chicken crackling and dipping gravy. How does it measure up? Yours and sandwiches, say my name, AJ. You remember AJ?
Of course I do.
Yeah.
It's in my most recent semester. The chicken sandwich at the Fed I revisited very recently.
And?
I don't think it came with crackling when I got it.
Oh, did it stand up under closer inspection? It's been quite a famous and popular sandwich in Auckland, New Zealand for a while.
A real institution of our... People of a certain age, and that certain age is our age.
That's right, and we are the same age as you, the listener. What sandwiches have I mean, I still can't go past recommending Hare and Turtle if you are somehow in Auckland. It's out in a suburb I didn't even know existed called New Windsor.
What about Christchurch?
Do you know, I haven't had a sandwich in Christchurch that wasn't at a house for a long time. Mm. I would be lost. I wouldn't know where to go. Wellington, I got one for you.
Go on.
Romeo's.
Where's that?
Great new little deli on Vivian Street. It's opposite the Victoria University School of Architecture and Design, that big red building.
It's a cool building.
It's a little deli by day and a bar by night.
It must be very close to the locksmith.
Really close to the locksmith. Great place to go and... get your shoes resold, yes, your locks done,
absolutely,
your fucking trophies engraved, yep, and your watch straps seen to.
Yeah.
But yeah, Romeo's in Wellington if you're ever down that way. And Hare and Turtle in Auckland are my two big sandwich tips. I can't remember.
Is it time for a spin-off sandwich podcast series hosted by Guy Montgomery?
No, there's not enough. I don't have enough experience. But I do love sandwiches. Oh,
how much
Hero
experience?
Sandwich in Mount Eden. It's I can't remember what street it's on. It might be New North Road. Hero Sandwich. They've got four sandwiches on the menu, and they're all outstanding. Again, I haven't tried all the sandwiches because I only have the vegetarian options. But
I think you're kind of like putting yourself in a box of. Here's what I see happening for the podcast. Right, is that you're the people's champ on the sandwich beat, so you're not like a pretentious.
Mm.
Sandwich connoisseur who's out of touch with what the general populace wants and needs out of a good sammy. You've got your finger on the pulse. You're out there representing the people's wants and needs.
That's right.
And finding what they want. So, you know.
Don't underestimate my input.
No. People are getting a lot out of your sandwich recommendations.
I appreciate that, Tim.
Lends itself to having guests on.
Fuck, man.
And talking that while eating.
That eggplant palm from here in Turtle is...
Yeah, there was a revelation, that one.
I'm salivating thinking about it.
My God. It's important to have hobbies, everybody. This one comes to us from Ray. Ray says, "Hi, Tim, and hopefully Guy via Tim. I was just enjoying a delectable episode of The Friend Zone, and you mentioned your YouTube Red pilot. Coincidentally, I'd been thinking about rewatching it all day, and I'm going to take this prompt to go ahead and do so. No idea who left your single thumbs down, but they're a fool, and I simply won't stand for it." I believe there's two now. Isn't there? How many thumbs ups we got? Over 1,000, I think. I think we cracked 1,000. There's two thumbs downs on it.
Some people just don't know what's good for them.
Fun fact, continues Ray, which you may or may not care to know. I watched the pilot for the first time the day before my father died this year. It was a really joyful, positive moment, and I don't regret it. Thanks for that moment of a respite. Made a real difference to me, and I can't wait to watch it again. Also, Tim, thanks for guesting on my Naruto podcast. Say my name, if you do so, please. Ray. God damn it, Ray. I'm trying to remember the name of the podcast so I can shout it out because you haven't added it to the email. I'm going to track it down. That was a really fun podcast with a group of friends. It was really cool. I watched an episode. They're all very au fait with the series.
Mm.
Oh, boy. I'm going to track it down. But do you want to say anything about the YouTube Red pilot while I find that?
We're up to, here are the numbers for you. 1,100 likes, 2 thumbs down, 19,671 views. The most recent comment was 2 weeks ago, and it says, "Tim's lifeless smile was consistent throughout the entire pilot. It is very scary to me."
Yeah, I read that that comment, and it gave me a great insight into maybe what I should do, the kind of comedy I should do on screen.
Which is?
Like kind of just fucking deadpan, dead-eyed, just dead. Maybe I should be dead.
Yeah, yeah. Scary stuff. I got a big one here.
It was a good insight, though. Telling you
this, we got this the 2 days before Christmas last year.
Yes, yes.
Starts with multiple exclamation points, and it says, "My cut-off PayPal message." So obviously this was one we started reading. The PayPal cut it off, and then here we are. "Dear Tim Mann and Guy Burns, In a serendipitous turn of events, you shouted out both my hometown of Glasgow, Scotland, and my new home of Chicago, Illinois, in a recent Friend Zone episode.
Ah, yes, Chicago, the Glasgow of America.
This has inspired me to hashtag pay the boys. I did some back-of-the-envelope calculations, and I reckon my contribution equates to around 15 cents per hour of your hard work. Like Guy...
Fuck, that's a lot.
I'm a real piece of shit. Unlike Guy, I'm entirely opposed to the ongoing novel coronavirus disease 2019 pandemic.
I'm so glad we're getting a timely reminder of Guy Montgomery's politically incorrect stance of being pro-COVID.
Yeah.
You love the stuff.
No. That's totally wrong. Sorry, I hate it. I think it's terrible. My sister moved from Glasgow to, fuck, what an international family, Auckland earlier this year to work as a
yes,
doctor.
Ah, yes, Auckland, the Glasgow of the South Pacific.
She's one of those people you locked away in a hotel for 2 weeks upon arrival. I've told her to ask every colleague she encounters how many times their partners watch Grown Ups 2. If this number is promising, she'll proceed to ask how many said partners watches 90s softcore pornography with a friend. Hopefully, we'll soon be 2 degrees of separation apart. Your podcast has been a regular source of comfort since I started listening last year. It helped me through the most stressful stages of my PhD and to intermittently disengage from the utter insanity of the world. In many ways, I think of you both as shamans. Peace and love, and please read out my name. Kieran Coley Lynch, or Kieran Coley Lynch. I am sorry, but I didn't know how to pronounce it.
Is it Kieran, do you think?
I do.
I would like to say thank you for the message, and I hope that we get to meet your sister, right, who's here? In Auckland?
My sister. Kieran.
Isn't that in
the message? Yeah, my sister isn't. Well, she's actually not here, but she lives here. She's not here right now.
I was talking to the person who sent the message.
She's in Tauranga.
That's cool.
Yeah, she's there for work. Okay. She's interviewing kiwi fruit growers all around New Zealand.
That's cool, man.
It's an insane job.
Zoe used to work in the kiwi fruit industry.
They'd have a lot to talk about.
They should catch up.
Zoe alongside...
She worked like 65-hour weeks. But then because she was earning a bit of money and had nothing to spend it on because she was at work all the time, she like used it to go to Europe.
That's great. Cool, eh? That's really cool. Remember when you could do that?
I've never been to Europe, except for that one time we went to London.
Hey, Tim.
That was it.
Europe's closed.
I don't think I will ever go. I think that's it now. Also, I tried to have a look for Ray's Naruto podcast, and I can't find it in my emails. I'm really sorry. But I'm glad that we could provide a little ray of light on what was a really... dark time, I'm sure, for you and your family.
Mm-hmm.
And for Kieran, man, I'm glad that all you peeps got a bit of traveling while the getting was good. Because ding dong, the gates are closed.
Because ding dong, the witch is dead. Witch, old witch.
We've been sent a image, which is pretty steamy. Would you like to see it?
Holy hell. Forbidden Friend Zone.
What's not to like?
It's a pretty classical image of a Mills and Boone type couple on the front, very heteronormative, I might add. But there is a muscle bound, shirt opened man with blonde flowing hair who's got one hand wrapped around a rope, so maybe they're on a boat. In fact, I can see waves in the background. They appear to be on the deck of a ship. The face has been replaced with Guy Montgomery's mustachioed face, and then my face has been supplanted onto the maiden, I guess you would say, who's being clutched by the male, and it says Forbidden Friend Zone. This has been sent to us by Clem Fandango.
Yes, we can hear you.
Tim and Guy, I recently messaged you on Patreon and mentioned the friend fiction I was writing. Thought I'd shoot over a copy of the first book, the first draft book cover. Any feedback you have would be great to have before I start shopping it out to publishers. I'll be sure to send you a copy when it's complete. Well, Mr. Regards, Alex. Alex sent a subsequent email 2 days later. As promised, see the attached ebook. Careful, it's pretty steamy. And there is, it's called Forbidden Friend Zone, and there is an attached PDF. So not only do we have the image, but apparently we might be dealing with an entire... novel.
Well, fucking strap in. Let's sit
whoa,
back.
Whoa, wee, whoa. 348 pages.
I'm sorry. What?
Guys, grab my phone off of me. There's a lot of text on that file. What is happening here? Can you just scroll into the middle and tell me what's there? Because we'll just see if it's like filler text in the middle. Don't go to the end, though. Don't spoil the ending.
Okay, well, so I'm on page... 44 right now with the heading chapter 5.
Okay.
It's very quiet. The light is muted. I'm comfortable and warm in this bed. Open my eyes, and for a moment, I'm tranquil and serene, enjoying the strange, unfamiliar surroundings. I have no idea where I am. The headboard behind me is in the shape of a massive sun. It's oddly familiar. The room is large and airy and plushly furnished in browns and golds and beige. I've seen it before. Where? My befuddled brain struggles through its recent visual memories. Holy crap! I'm in the Heathman Hotel, in a suite. I've stood in a room similar to this with Kate. This looks bigger. Oh, shit! I'm in Guy Montgomery's suite. How did I get here?
This is real.
This is fucking real. I'm scrolling down and like...
What page are you on now?
72. Like, all our names are peppered through this and it's all like... This is all legit.
All right, Alex, here's what's going to happen.
Holy fuck, this is massive. This is 348 pages of, I'm guessing, erotic fiction.
I think we should record this. Is it like a...
The whole thing.
Yeah, an audio book. If he took the time to write it, the least we could do is take the time to read it into a microphone.
Yeah, it's going to be a big day's work.
We can do it separately. This feels like a nighttime activity.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I'll just sit alone reading page after page of this thing. We could do like a chapter each.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, this is Alex's project, obviously. It's his copyright. It's his thing. But
what we'll do...
I think it'd be fun.
Yeah. If we do it, we'll ask for permission to release it and we could put the whole...
Oh, that might be nice, yes.
The whole thing out.
Yes.
So
that
intense.
Might be really nice. I wonder if anyone would like to throw in and do some, you know,
music.
Audio design, music...
We also, I mean, I was skim reading that. I've got no idea how erotic it gets. It might be filthy.
Yeah, I'm just having a little scroll around.
It was like...
It looks pretty, like, all good.
They did warn that it was...
Steamy. Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's like a Mills and Boone type romance novel. Yes, Mr. Montgomery. This is 215, by the way, page number 215. Yes, Mr. Montgomery, look after her. She's a beautiful, bright young woman. Guy is taken aback, as am I. I wonder whose perspective this is written from.
Sounds like it's written from the perspective of Clem Fandango.
What an inappropriate thing for a doctor to say. Is she giving him some kind of not-so-subtle warning? Guy recovers himself. I fully intend to, he mutters, bemused. Gazing at him, I shrug, embarrassed. I'll send you my bill, she says crisply as she shakes his hand. Good day and good luck to you, Tim. She smiles, her eyes crinkling as she does the way when we shake hands.
How about it?
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is not quite in the same familiar. This one says, my mum made me watch Home Alone 3 because it's better than the first one, so I'm now making her listen to The Emergency Season. Her fondness now also explains why Home Alone 3 was the only one we owned when I was a child and why I consequently watched it many times before ever seeing the original. We'll return with updates and no doubt rebuttals from my mum to your Home Alone 3 criticisms. Micah. One day later. All she said about the podcast was, that was cute, which is a pretty good burn.
That is. Yeah, that's a dramatic burn. Well, fuck us, I guess. Although we are cute, so we got that going for us. Do you like being described as cute?
Yeah, love it.
Cool. I'm opening up the Patreon now.
Good on you.
I always forget to read messages from it. And Alex has, that's probably why it's hard to log in. We've just sent an email to here. Can you please verify that it's you? Fuck, just let me in. Let me in! Do you want to read another email while
with pleasure.
Again, ingress.
This is from 2021. Catching up, as we always do, to the present day. Afternoon, fellas. For reasons I have just, on this date in 2021, completed listening to your show. That makes me 3 and a bit years late to this party, but here I am. Season 3 is finished. The following sentiment's been expressed countless times around the friend zone, but I'm going to say it again. This is a bittersweet moment for me. I'm sad to be losing this from my life, but I'm happy for you guys that you won't be doing this to yourself for a fourth time.
Whoops.
Your struggle was incredibly visceral at times, and I would genuinely worry for your mental health if you were to continue. I hope whatever you good boys, you brave boys, you cute boys have moved on to makes you happier. I also hope to find something at least as excellent as this now defunct podcast to fill my time, because I tell you, without the worst study of all time, I cannot imagine how 2021 could possibly live up to the magnificent year that was 2020. My love, you both. P.S. Say my name. If no one is around you, say, baby, I love you if you ain't running game. And that was from Liam. So thank you, Liam.
Well, Liam, you're at the bottom of season 3. Boy, do I have some good news for you.
There's a wealth of content.
We didn't go anywhere. We never left. What did Anna say? Oh, that's a technical message.
Love that.
This one, though, is from Code Lima. You read me?
Mm-hmm.
Dear Batmobile and Guy Cycle.
That's us.
I have some incredible news to share regarding super secret joint venture Killionaire. Oh, and then we've got a link to a YouTube video for additional details, but I believe we've found your way to get your first $ T-bone. Anyway, love you both. Please say the fuck out of my name. Andrew, riches ain't shit wild. Well, look, that's Patreon shit.
Yeah, yeah. Extremely.
It's a secret project that we've got going on there.
You know that
this was mentioned.
Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos are sparring at the moment?
Like for the position? Or are they actually
having
an argument?
They're throwing shade or something at each other about satellites.
Good.
Don't know what it means.
Whoever wins, we lose. It's like Predator versus Alien. A different Alex writes, Dear G&T, over the last month I've made my way through almost 100 hours of your 325 plus hour back catalogue. Fucking hell, dude. That's a lot in Tim and Guy out there on the internet, eh?
Huge amount.
And I've been having a wonderful time. So right off the bat, let me just say, thank you. You haven't got me through any tough times, but you've made me a somewhat below average October more enjoyable. However, I have had a terrible thought. Are you two genuine real-life friends, or is it just an act like Adam and Jamie from Mythbusters, who famously hate each other outside the show? Is that fucking true?
Didn't know that.
Didn't know that at all. Interesting. I truly hope this is not the case, as it would undermine the steamy fanfic I've been writing. Oh, it's this? Okay, it's this, Alex. Maybe I'm better off not knowing. As they say, ignorance is bliss, but perhaps we'll find out in 225 bliss-filled hours from now on a friend zone if you still read out messages. Much love. Alex, P.S., I've been enjoying the New Zealand edition of Taskmaster. I think you two would be perfect competitors on a future season. It has been said.
I hope that happens.
Do you want to address the allegations that we are friends outside of this podcast?
The allegations are true. We are friends. We've actually we've remained friends the whole time. And I would say we've even streamlined our operation to try and... Because if you work together with someone for a long time, then the lines blur. And especially when your line of work is self-torture... there can be a Pavlovian response to receiving correspondence from either party.
Guy and I are so thirsty to hang out.
Yeah.
Like, as friends, we're always trying to find opportunities for
it. We went to
New Year's?
A comedy show together.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Last Thursday.
Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, sure. We went and saw Russell Howard.
The wickedly talented.
The one and only Russell Howard.
Fucking great things happening in New Zealand, where because we're the only ones open, really, especially for, you know, live performance, all these international comedians and musicians are coming here.
Yeah, I mean,
so we got Russell Howard.
We got Russell Howard. Bill Bailey's coming soon.
He's charging like $90.
Bill Bailey.
Yeah, it's too much, man. It's a lot of money.
I feel like I bet you Russell Howard's charging more.
You reckon?
$90 to sit, like when Jimmy Carroll used to come here pre-pandemic, they'd be like $125 or something.
Fuck me.
Yeah. Anyway,
we're gonna start charging more.
Went to the show. Had a great time. Oh, we drove to the show together. Parked the car.
Guy picked me up, treated me to the show.
We parked the car. Before we watched the show, I will confess, we smoked a little weed. A little bit of weed. Not a lot of weed.
Is that such a crime?
Yes.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, we got that one wrong. Anyway, we went to the show, had a fantastic time. It lasted, you know, including opener and break, 2 hours, 2.5 hours. The show finished. You know, I was of a clear mind, confident that I could drive the car home. Went back down to where the car was parked. Could not for the life of me see the car. Thought I was experiencing some sort of confusing optical illusion.
Yeah, and because I've got a notoriously bad memory, I was like, fuck, did we park here?
Looked
did we park somewhere else?
Every possible spot where the car could have been parked. It's like, god damn. Maybe we were towed by the towing company. Even though it's outside of towing hours, maybe... You know, we broke some rule we didn't know about. Called up the towing company. They said, we do not have that car on our property. A friend was walking, and I was like, well, the car's been stolen then. A friend who'd also been at the show was walking down to their car, ran into us, and we were like, oh, man, our car got stolen. He's like, oh, that sucks.
At this point, I was still utterly convinced it had been towed. I just thought it was in transit.
And anyway, he was like, well, do you want a ride? And I was like, probably going to deal with the stolen car thing here first. And he's like, fair enough. And then I said to him, well, enjoy your car. He got back to his car. It had been broken into and they'd fucked his ignition barrel. And
the car was immobile.
And then I was like, well, it's definitely been stolen. So that's when I called the police and I was like, I'd like to report a stolen car. And they were like, how do you know it's been stolen? And I told them what I just told you. And they were like, yeah. Your car's totally been stolen.
Sounds pretty stolen.
So then I told them about what we'd done and how the car was stolen.
Not the weed bit, though.
And then they said, all right, sucks to be you. Sorry this happened.
Peace out.
No, yeah, I'm safe.
They first said, have you got any CCTV cameras there under the bridge? And I kind of thought the police knew where they all were. I thought they were there.
Yeah.
Because there's a sign right where Guy had parked the car under the bridge, where it says CCTV cameras in operation. A great sign.
Mm.
But then we looked everywhere and
there were no CCTV cameras. And yeah, they had no idea. Anyway.
The car's been jacked.
The car's been jacked.
If you see it.
No. Well, here's something you don't even know. The next morning I woke up to an email from the New Zealand Police and a missed phone call at 3 a.m. saying the car had been recovered in Papakura. And they hadn't found any suspects, but I was going away the next day. So I was away for 4 days. I went and picked it up yesterday. The ignition barrel, 100% fucked. They broke a back window. They left a mascara tool, like an eyelash tool, and some gloves in there.
Slovenly.
They took some of my clothes, but not all of my clothes.
Yeah.
Insulting. Although the joke's on them, because the clothes they took, I had in the car to take to the Sally's.
Oh, true. Oh, well, that's just cutting out the middle, man, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
And you can start the car with a flathead screwdriver.
What most people don't know about a 1986 Toyota Corolla is you start that bad boy up with a flathead.
You couldn't originally, but they've fucking smashed in the ignition barrel, and now you can. And honestly, I don't know. I hope they got wherever they needed to go, but it was and remains a massive pain in the ass.
That is a lovely sentiment. Well, I hope you guys got your needs met, because this has been quite inconvenient for me, owner of the car.
I hope that how convenient this experience has been for you equals how fucking is greater than how inconvenient it's been for me. That's my hope.
So what's the deal with the windscreen? Is it still like it's
fucking it's been
gone.
Smashed. But so there's a place called Spartan Toyota, where they have
Spartan Toyota.
They have all
if
sorts
your car's
of
car's been broken into, we'll fix it for you.
That's right. And they've got all sorts of spare odds and ends Toyota bits. And so I'm gonna I went in and they were like, okay, we'll have a look. They couldn't find anything. Like, give us a call tomorrow. We'll let you know. So I'm going to call them back after this, find out if they've got a 1986 Toyota Corolla ignition barrel. If they do, well, you better believe I'm buying that, taking it to a mechanics, they're going to put it in the car. If they don't, probably going to have to just take the car to a yard and sell it for bits.
True, true, true. Should I see if I can get my dad up? He'd be able to fix that if we could get the ignition.
Oh, it's sweet, but no, we don't need to introduce other people's...
Oh, come on, mate.
No, we don't want to burden other people with this.
Andy, I know you're listening.
Is he?
Guy needs a hand.
No.
Mum and dad listen in the car when they go over the hill.
Really?
Yep.
No, that's so sweet. But no. Stay where you are. I'll figure it out. Anyway, all that to say that I've just got the Google up for Other Guys from Mythbusters Friends, and it says here, Jamie and I make no bones about the fact we're not friends, Savage told Business Insider recently. We don't get along very well together on a personal level. In 25 years we've known each other, we've never had dinner alone together.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
That is so weird. Why would you do the show?
Well,
I mean, money, yeah. I guess, but like, fuck, what's it all for?
It's 11.
Anywho, great to be with you for this friend zone, my friend. I'm talking to the listener. You are also my friend, but I was trying to do that radio thing of like, you talk to one person.
No, yeah. I know the trick. You told me about it.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's probably enough.
Absolutely.
Hope you're all doing well.
Yeah, big time.
Don't worry about me. Don't worry about Tim. We're both doing great.
We're doing great. In fact, we're putting the wheels on our stream that we're doing in conjunction with Littlefield, the theatre in Brooklyn, which is, theatres the world over are trying to find innovative ways to survive, basically, devastating effects of COVID. And part of that solution is doing some live streams, and we are proud to present... And Just Like That is the name of the event. And it's Guy and I writing a pilot for the first episode of the new season of Sex and the City that's been announced.
That is...
Sans Samantha Jones.
100% correct. And we're furnishing the cast with a panel of our fantastic friends. It's going to be a really good time. We've been hashing out some story beats.
God damn, Guy's come up with some incredible, incredible shit.
It's going to be... It's going to be interesting to see how all of these little disparate threads come together. So that is happening on Friday, the 19th of February, 3 p.m. in New Zealand, which will be 9 p.m. on Thursday, February 18, in New York City, which will be 6 p.m. in LA, and other times in other places. I'm so sorry to the UK. It's at like 3 a.m. But
yeah, but we're going to record it.
Yeah,
so like
you'll be able to get it.
There'll be a way. It's quite cheap too, right? I think.
Yeah, it's a recommended donation of $8, but it's your call. Tickets are available if you go to our Twitter, @twioatpod, or our Facebook page, Worst City of All Time. You'll find the ticket link on Eventbrite. We would love so much for you to join us. It promises to be a...
It'll be really fun.
A really fun time.
And I think we have... I'm pretty sure we've got a very special guest who will be hosting...
A moderator.
Yeah.
For the Q&A.
Like a Q&A session at the end.
I've heard tell of this as well.
Yeah. I just need to make sure we've got that person because I couldn't really believe that they...
Would do it. But they might. And it is not Sarah Jessica Parker.
Ah! Oh, cat's out of the bag.
So, thank you for listening. Keep an eye out for that. Just a quick and final reminder that...
Stop moving the boom arm. It's a very cheap
off.
One.
I love moving the boom arm. There's that overlooked and undercooked Rob Schneider thing. Last time I'll plug it, but we had a lot of fun and a lot of not fun doing that. Really frustrated, Tim.
Oh, we haven't talked much about it on this. You probably heard it because it's on this stream.
It's on the feed, yeah.
If you want to kind of recommend that for friends and they're too confronted with all the worst idea shit, like that's on its own podcast stream. So if you just looked for Overlooked and Undercooked, it lives there. It's easier to find.
Wonderful self-contained product. Yeah. And it features fantastic guests, including Daniel Sloss, Rose Mottefeo, Alice Sneddon, and Joseph Moore. So feel free to check that out. Otherwise, look after yourselves.
Love you.
Love you. If you're in New Zealand and you're listening to this, I hope you're fucking scanning QR codes.
What is he like?
What am I like? You know what I'm like.
Well, it's the friend zone with Tim and Guy. It's the friend zone. We're going to have a good time. It's the friend zone with Tim and Guy, because making friends is the best idea of all time. Friend zone.
Hold up.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.